to episode 614 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Donna, and Anna. Things don't always go as planned in travel, and in many ways that can lead to fun and interesting things. 2 years ago, Elizabeth booked a river cruise for her family and friends on the Moselle and Rhine rivers. She had heard about the beauty of the Moselle and also wanted to share the Rhine and Switzerland with her family. This year, as they all met up to embark on their cruise, they learned that the record high temperatures in Europe have led to very low water levels on the Rhine and the Danube. So what happens when the river is too low to traverse? We've asked Elizabeth to share her experience from the good to the bad and, of course, the beautiful. So let's get started. Wow, how lucky for you.
Yeah, well, you know, we travel poorly, so you don't have to.
I mean, I'm really interested to hear about this because this is something people ask me about when they're looking to book a river cruise. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, what happened? You know, you can't guarantee that the water's not going to be low or high, you know, so...
Yeah.
So how much of advance notice did you have for?
Oh, not much. Well, I mean, we knew that the rivers were low, but Alma really didn't say anything to us until the Friday before our cruise. And technically our cruise started on Wednesday. So a little less than a week that we got sort of confirmation that yes, your trip is going to go, but there will be some alterations. And, you know, let us know what your post-cruise plans are so that we can do our best to accommodate those. And it's interesting because I actually currently am having a communication issue with Alma Waterways that they know about where they don't always get my emails and I don't always get their emails. It's an Outlander travel thing. So you guys let me know if you've had the same problem, but Vicky also had this problem. So there's like a technical thing going on. So I had to call in and it was fine. I mean, they're very kind and easy to talk to about it, but it did seem like they were, I mean, obviously changing an itinerary at the last minute is challenging no matter what. And then when you add on to that, that there are places you can't go. So it limits what you can change it to. So I will say that I have always been curious what it would be like to be on one of these cruises. I've had clients on them and I know sort of how they've been treated. Mm-hmm. I'm not tired. I'm just not breathing well. Cruise line handles things a little bit different and some are more likely to bus you from place to place and others are more likely to do ship swaps. I was really hoping we would get a ship swap, which is really hard to say fast without accidentally saying a bad word. But it turns out that pretty much everything from the gorge down to Basel is really hard to navigate. There's not a good clear, you know, you can't skip a section and then get down to Basel. It was apparently pretty bad all the way down. And the pieces that we did see were really bad. So all that to say, we had about 5 days notice that there would be changes. And then I didn't really know because I had no emails because of this whole situation. Mm-hmm. I wasn't exactly sure what we were going to be doing. But I had deduced from Facebook posts where people said that the cruise immediately after ours on the Amacerto was now going to be an Amsterdam round trip cruise. We were supposed to end in Basel. So I was like, well, I guess we're going to Amsterdam. And honestly, I almost didn't care because I was on the river with my family. I was with another client who's very easygoing and very fun. And I just wasn't too concerned. So, we did a pre-cruise with Alma in France, and they didn't even really know at that time, like they didn't have anything to tell us other than the first 2 days of your sailings will be on, they'll be exactly what they were supposed to be, but that's 2 days. And the first day is the day you board. So it's kind of like, okay.
So don't unpack. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So did your family get to do Switzerland like you wanted them?
We did. I mean, you're just jumping right to the end, but what ended up happening was, once we got on the ship, they said, that we're going to do the Mosel or Moselle, depending on whether you're German or not. We're going to do the Mosel and we're going to maybe do a couple of extra stops there. And then when we get to the Rhine, we have to go north instead of south. And that means no Rhine Gorge, no Rüdesheim, which was very sad for Chris because he was really looking forward to that coffee. No Alsace region, no Strasbourg, and then no Basel. And of course, we had planned at the end of the cruise to disembark, transfer to Zurich. We had two activities planned in the afternoon / evening in Zurich, and then we were flying out the next day. We didn't have a whole lot of time in Zurich, but I really wanted the kids to get to see at least a little bit of Switzerland for various reasons. One is that they had not been there before, so I really wanted to give them that opportunity. They asked me what our plans were, and I was like, we have 1:30 p.m. tickets to the Lindt Chocolate Museum, and if you've ever been there, you know that you have to get there within a half hour of your start time. And then we have a 6 o'clock evening tour. And so they put us on KLM from Amsterdam to Zurich and flew us down to Zurich. And we were supposed to land by 11, but there were delays. So we landed it at noon or so. And I have to say, I was delighted because they actually put me on KLM, which respects my Delta status. So I got, because I did not pack for a European flight.
Yeah, I know, because I saw you before this cruise.
Yeah, so I had two suitcases to check and then two carry-ons. And the only reason that I did that was because I knew that I was only going to be on trains and that I knew where I had help and everything. So I'd really thought it through. And then it was like, But since since I have diamond status with Delta, I was able to check my bags and it actually was just fine. So, yeah.
Good.
Had lounge access and everything. It was nice.
Yeah, and you were already in the EU, so there's not a customs.
Yes, it was an easy flight. And bonus, Marcus has never been to Amsterdam, so he's never been to the Netherlands, so he got to check off another country.
Nice.
Yeah,
I can't believe he hasn't done that with him being over there this summer.
Yeah, you know, like no, I mean, this is his third summer in Europe, but you know, he's usually in Hungary and that's nowhere near Amsterdam. So he's talked about it every single year, and we weren't there for very long, but he and Chris walked all over while Finley and I went to the Straat Museum. And actually it was really nice because the last time I was in Amsterdam with Finley, I had promised that the next time we didn't have time to go to the Straat Museum, which is the street art museum. Mm-hmm. And I knew he would love it. And, you know, I think he was kind of bummed that we couldn't go. So I promised him, I was like, the very next time we are in Amsterdam together, I will take you. And wasn't expecting it, but you know, there we were. So yeah.
Cool. That's lemons, lemonade.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. That's some chicken soup or lemonade.
Yep. It was great.
So it sounds like you stayed on the ship the whole time though.
We did. And I was so grateful for that. Cause again, did I mention way too much luggage? Yeah. So I was really looking forward to unpacking. And Marcus was actually, you know, he had been in Europe for 6 weeks before that. He's been living out of a backpack basically. And so he was really looking forward to unpacking and, you know, we were like, oh, what's going to happen? But yeah, we were on the whole time. They just added a couple of stops, in the Moselle area. It was a wine themed cruise. So the speaker was still on board and they did as much wine programming as possible, which was plenty. I'm not a big fan of German Riesling, but I still learned a lot. And I have no qualms with anything we did. And I have to say that I think the Mosel is one of the prettiest. It is the prettiest river I've been on. Sorry to all
it is
the other
pretty.
Rivers.
It is beautiful.
It is gorgeous.
We've got friends that live about 15, 20 minutes from Bern Castle.
Yeah. So we got to go to Bern Castle, which was not actually on our original.
So yeah, it is itinerary. If you've never done it, I highly recommend going.
Yeah, it was fabulous. We did a wine tasting there. I have to say, I mean, I did the Douro a couple years ago and I did that partially because I'd been told it was the most beautiful river. Mm-hmm. I disagree. I mean, it is very pretty and it's similar in many ways because it's all the vineyards and everything, but the Mosel is just, it's just gorgeous from one end to the other, little fairy tale villages. And it's just very pretty. There's not a whole lot of industrial buildup on that river. It's mostly wineries and, you know, wine estates. And so it's just, it's gorgeous. But it, the quality that it has that the Douro doesn't have is that the villages are actually right on the river. So if you don't want to go do a tour, you can wander around these tiny little villages and, you know, just enjoy. Whereas on the Douro, you have to bus pretty much anywhere you want to go.
And so, it's very quiet.
It's, it is. Yes.
Because there's not a lot of airplanes. There's not a lot of traffic. Yeah. It's just a very quiet, quaint area to go.
Yeah. And you still see a good number of river ships, but not nearly as many as you would on the Danube or the Rhine. So, yeah. And honestly, that was the part that I was the most looking forward to because it's the part I haven't done. We just got to spend more time on it. So it was, I wasn't mad, you know, like it was a nice way to compromise. And, you know, we'll just spend more time on like literally the world's prettiest river.
So it sounds like they did a really good job of coming up with those excursions, you know, at those new ports very last minute, which is good. Mm-hmm. That's really good that they were still able to offer that.
I think it helps. I mean, obviously these companies are in this area all the time, so they have open conversations and it may be that some itineraries do go to Bernkastel. I wouldn't be surprised if one did. Mm-hmm. This one just wasn't scheduled to. So they just basically call up their contacts and say, hey, what can we do? And they set it up. So yeah, it was wonderful. No complaints. And they kept the app up to date as well, which was really nice too. That sometimes I learned where we were going next by just looking at the app.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you didn't necessarily know at the beginning of the cruise where you were going to be every
correct.
Day?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there was quite a bit loaded into the app, but like even when we first boarded, we had activities on the app in Amsterdam and in Basel. It's like, well, we're not going to be in both places on that day.
Wow.
So yeah, so there was a little bit of quote chaos, but honestly, I didn't have to worry about it. I just had to wait for them to tell me what was happening and I was in the right part of the world. It's not like they shipped me to Vietnam or something. I was literally on the river that I expected to be on. In both cases, I was just on the different part of the Rhine.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of that has to do with the company. The Waterways really does take care of their people and make sure that everything is right. And so they got you to Zurich.
Yeah. And one could argue that about 50% of my cruise itinerary was affected, but I think that's accurate. However, they gave me more than 50% future cruise credit, so I'm going to be able to take another cruise. And I can't guarantee that they'll do that every single time. But frankly, I've been doing this for 14 years, and whenever this happens,
they did that for my clients when that happened too. I was going to ask you if they did something like that because. I mean, you still got to do, you know, some really cool stuff. So,
yeah. And I joked about Vietnam because Marcus is now advocating for the Mekong because he wants
to
get
it. I'm sure he is. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good idea because we haven't done a podcast on that one yet.
Oh, great. Thanks, Dandy.
There you go.
I support Marcus. That. That sounds fun.
Remind me where you said you started, like where was your pre-cruise?
So the pre-cruise was in Chantilly, which is just outside of Paris. And then the next day, and I'm gonna practice my French on you guys. So the Champagne region of France, one of the major cities there is spelled R-E-I-M-S. And so as Americans, we tend to say Rem, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the French say Reims.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So basically the alphabet is just a suggestion, you know, just sort of a guideline. And so there's a beautiful cathedral in Reims, and then all the champagne houses are very close by. Some are in Reims, but then some are in Epernay and that area. So we went to, a champagne tasting at a smaller, champagne house. Then we went to one of the larger and oldest champagne houses. And then we saw like Moët and Chandon and Veuve Clicquot. And okay, so there goes my French.
Started out strong.
Yep. So I've been practicing the first one. So, And so, yeah, it was two nights there. And actually, we were there on the 13th and 14th of July. And if you are paying attention, first of all, the 14th of July is a holiday in France, but also it was a very important match in the World Cup. France was playing and when France lost. So, but it was still, it was very fun to be there when everybody was all, you know, walking down the street with their flags and everything.
That's so, cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
whenever they lost, were people like unruly about it?
Not in France, maybe in Paris or, you know, but no, I think that they tend to be more ebullient when they win than and if they lose, they just sort of, you know, shuffle on home. I didn't really hear anything. I will say I didn't stay out to watch because I don't like crowds, but the boys all stayed out for the first half, and apparently Marcus learned quite a bit of colorful French while in that first half. So, and actually it was interesting too, because in the bar that where they were able to, you know, stand, there was only standing room. The owner of the restaurant came out and told some people to cut it out. Like they were like, this is not how we, you know, how we speak here. Yeah. So
nice. Interesting.
We need to be very civilized about
so very different than from England.
Yes. Exactly. Well, and I imagine it's different from place to place too, but
I'm sure. All right, cool. So where did you go after you set sail and started?
So we started in Luxembourg, which was again one of the draws to this cruise is I've never been to Luxembourg. It gave us all another country to check off of our list.
That's cool.
Yeah, nice. And it's a beautiful little, I mean, it's tiny, obviously, but it's it's beautiful. There's a lot of money there. There are banks, you know, banking capital. And so we got to see the main Luxembourg city. We had lunch there. And then they drove us to Wasserbillig, which is the where we got on the ship. It's a small town. Apparently, it is known for being like the gas capital of Luxembourg. Apparently, gas is much less expensive in Luxembourg than it is in Germany. And of course, right across the river of the Moselle is Germany. And so a lot of people commute back and forth. So everybody drives to Wasserbillig to fill up their cars and then they go back to
Germany. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So did you know that Luxembourg was on the itinerary?
Luxembourg was the original story. Yeah. So that was something that I did sign up for. Like this, it was a draw for this particular itinerary. Yeah. And it's part of the reason I did the pre in France too, because I could fly into Paris really easily. I mean, as it turns out, I was in Europe before and it was a chore to get there, but you know, the rest of the family was able to get to Paris really easily. Whereas getting to Luxembourg is a little, you know, there's more hops and jumps and things. And so it was just, to me, it made more sense to just go ahead and.
And it's also more expensive to fly into Luxembourg.
I would not doubt that at all. And of course, Wasserbillig is not like a major city either. So you have to transfer from Luxembourg city to the, so to me, it just wasn't worth it to come into Luxembourg. I had not been to the Champagne region before, and the kids are now old enough to imbibe. So it just seemed like a good way to start the trip.
So that was the option that AMA had for their, so that's good because then you get all the transfers and stuff included.
Correct. And actually AMA had two different options. They did have three nights in Paris, or they had this three night Champagne region. Normally AMA has the cruise manager with you the entire time, but she obviously can't be in two places at once. So we had sort of guides show up every day, and she was in the Paris part, our cruise manager Ayanella.
Cool. So then Bern Castle,
and it's Bern Castle Coos, I think is how you say the second city. There's two cities basically right across the river from each other, so there's one place. Really pretty. We did a walking tour there, and then we did a wine tasting across the bridge in Coos. And again, I didn't know what to expect. It wasn't on the original plan. I hadn't looked at it at all. And I obviously hadn't talked to Donna to hear that it was definitely a wonderful place. And it's gorgeous. I mean, it's just so, every town has a castle, and there was and Burn Castle has the castle is up on a hill. So the kids actually did the hike up to the castle, which they say was my kids didn't think it was very strenuous, but it was considered a very active tour. It's only about a 45 minute walk.
But Jeff thought it was very strenuous. Yeah. He was sucking some serious wind. But then we got ice cream right there in the square, and there's a great little
ice
cream
shop.
Oh yeah, they definitely made it better.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So how do you say the next one?
I think it's Cohem.
Cohem?
Cohem?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's really just, that is where the Rhine and the Moselle come together. Okay. There's a big statue of Wilhelm II there. I mean, when I say big, I'm talking huge. Like, we were like, whoa, what is that? It's like Statue of Liberty big, almost. Not that big, but, you know, it compares.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I looked back through my pictures, and you know that I don't take a lot of pictures. My family are the ones who really take pictures, and they haven't uploaded them to our photo circle yet.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember much about what we did, but I know that we did some walking. I think I did a walking tour around here. And then we also went to Koblenz, and we did from there a day trip on the Rhine Gorge. So basically they drove us from the ship to like a day boat. And then we got to do the northern part of the Rhine Gorge, which was delightful for me because I thought we were going to miss it entirely. And it's one of my favorite parts of the Rhine with all the castles. And I really wanted the kids to see it.
Nice.
So we did, of course they were kind of bored. But you know, whatever.
You're like, this is going to be so great. I'm so glad you
Yeah. Scenic cruising is not really their thing. I learned that in Alaska too. That didn't go over as well as I'd hoped, but I enjoyed it. And interestingly, and I'm not going to throw any other river cruise lines under the bus because they all have their strengths, but Viking had two ships on the river, on the Rhine Gorge, where we were told it wasn't navigable. Mm-hmm. So I was a little puzzled at that. And mm-hmm. my intent was to come home and call on the waterways and ask them, hey, what's up with this? But the news today talked about how one of the Viking ships went aground. So,
yeah,
you know.
That was on the Danube, though.
That was on the Danube, but... But
they're doing it everywhere, right?
Exactly. I'm like, it's to me, that was my thought. I'm like, you're going to run aground and you've got 190 people on this boat. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, but the kids were like, well, if they can do it, why can't we? I was like, you know, I don't know the answer to that question. And I think it's just going to be a decision that each, you know, line makes, mm-hmm. but it, you know, you, and I could tell the river was really low. It's not like it was like, oh gosh, it doesn't look so bad. It was really low. The water line, you could tell, you get lots of sandy beaches on the Rhine, and the Rhine doesn't usually have sandy beaches, but we were looking at the bottom of the riverbed basically.
Well, and I would think too that if they, I mean, they have to set this up. I know it was kind of a last minute change, but you still got to make a decision about where you're going to go, what you're going to do. So, yeah, I can see why they would make that decision.
Well, and I think they might have actually, the Rhine Gorge was taken off of our itinerary a while back. So I think they knew it was going to be low. But I was like, if we're not going to the Rhine Gorge, how are we getting through? And so that's why I was thinking we might have a ship swap. Mm-hmm. But so I do think that they had that day boat as a contingency plan. And I was very happy with it. It was, I mean, I got to go on that section of the river, you know, and mm-hmm. on a boat. So
yeah.
That's cool.
And then Cologne.
Yeah. So then we went to Cologne, which was, you know, Marcus was actually pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. Sort of our bonus trip bonus city to make up for not going to Strasbourg. And he and Finn, this was the second bike tour that they did. They did a bike tour around Cologne, and they really liked that. But the bike tour did not take them to the Cologne Cathedral, which is like the main thing that everybody goes to see there. So they went and walked over there afterwards and looked around. And
nice.
And Chris and I have been to Cologne before. So we just basically, we puttered around a little bit. It was a nice day. We had good weather that day. It wasn't so bleeding hot, but I didn't need to go back to the cathedral.
And one of the great things you could also do if you've been there before is do your own self pub crawl. doing Kolsch tastings.
Yes. Ooh. Yeah. And, you know, I will say that I, this was like week 3.5 of me being in Europe, and I had imbibed quite a bit. So I was like, I'm not even going to have Kolsch here, you know, but we passed by where we did the Kolsch tasting the first time we were there. And also there is a Lindt chocolate museum in Cologne that had I known we might have done something else in Zurich and we would have gone to the one in Cologne, but it's all good. So we just really took that. Again, I had been in Europe for a long time and I was getting really, really tired. So it was good.
What of all the good food and exercise?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was just tired. So it was nice for Chris and I to just spend a little bit of time. And actually, there's some really nice public art and stuff around Cologne as well. So,
and when you're tired, what we did after we were a little tipsy, we stumbled back to the ship and then got in the pool.
Yeah. Then I will say, I did not get in the pool on the ship. A lot of people did. It was the first time I've actually been on a river cruise where there were a lot of people going through in bathing suits and stuff. So,
oh, nice. Hmm. So then the last is Amsterdam, which we kind of talked about.
Yeah.
I do have a question about the general, like, wine theme of the cruise. Mm-hmm. So I know that you did some wine tasting excursions and vineyards and stuff, but what on the cruise was, did they have like lectures or?
Yeah. So they had usually what they do is they have a vintner of some sort come on board or some sort of wine expert and bring their, you know, their group of whatever, their wine club or whatever. And then everybody sort of benefits from it. Even if you don't know this winery or what have you. So the winery that was there is called something Tree. Oh my gosh, I can't remember. But they actually have two vineyards, one in the Finger Lakes region of the United States, and then one in South Australia near Adelaide. And
wow.
And one of the, it's a man, a couple owns it, a husband and wife. And they brought their baby on board. And when I say baby, I mean, I think she gave birth and got on the plane. This was like a tiny little baby. It's so cute, but yeah, little itty bitty fresh baby. And so she apparently went to study in Australia for a year to, you know, learn the wine business. And that's how they met. So they divide their time. And so they had kind of a variety of wine from their collections or their vintages or what have you, some from Australia, some from the Finger Lakes, but they talked about all kinds of wine on board. And then the final night, but the last, like the celebration dinner, sort of the farewell dinner, they actually did a pairing. So they worked with Ama to bring on their wines to pair with the meal. Yeah. So, and so they did they talked a little bit before, the courses and explained the wines that they had. And, so yeah, it was great.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Was it Hanging Tree?
Maybe.
I was Googling.
Are they in the Finger Lakes?
That's what I looked
okay.
up.
Okay. Then that's probably them. Yeah. I was thinking Painted Tree. But
there's a pepper tree, several things popped up, like Hanging Tree, Pepper Tree, Fig Tree, but lots of trees. Apparently they like their trees.
Well, if the owners are Australian and American, then that's it.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. And then I see your late tour in Zurich was a tuk-tuk tour.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this was the best tour. So I wanted to do, you know, we're only in Zurich for about 12 hours. And I was like, how can I give the kids a good feel for Zurich, which is not small, in that short period of time, and go to the chocolate museum and buy a ridiculous amount of chocolate because I have my priorities straight. So I found several tuk-tuk tours, and one of them, they give you a meal on the tuk-tuk. So basically you get on and there's this table in the middle. It seats up to four people. And the table looks like just part of a table, really. And it's got a little stand where you can hook in wine glasses, right? So then he drives you to a restaurant and he brings out a bottle of wine along with a carafe of wine. So he basically gave us all a glass of wine, plus we had a full bottle of wine. And that went in a little wine holder between me and Chris. And the boys were sitting opposite us. Then he comes out with two ginormous bowls of hot French fries, like really, really good French fries. Ooh. And they put that between Marcus and Finley, which I feel might have been a bad decision, but that's where it was. So then, so I'm not sure I got as many French fries as I really was entitled to, is what I'm saying. And then they come out with two pieces of this table, and it's a piece of wood with two hot slates in it, with a 7-ounce cut of beef on it. Beautiful steak, like a really nice cut of beef, sizzling, and they hook it into the table on either side. So there were four of them all together. And a little thing of sauces for the steaks. It was amazing. Amazing.
Oh my gosh. That is cool.
And then little salads as well. And so we get on. So when the tuk-tuk pulls up and Marcus is like, I cannot believe everybody's going to be looking at us. This is going to be so embarrassing. Like, he was so self-conscious about it. They brought that steak out and put it in front of him, and he was fine. he forgot about all of his misgivings. He was so happy.
Tuk-tuks are really cool, but maybe it's my age.
I agree.
I love Elizabeth's enthusiasm for the fries and steak. And then they brought salads.
Yeah, and then they brought salads.
And they brought salad too.
I mean, whatever. But they actually, because we were in the tuk-tuk, we got to go all the way, like we went all the way up to the top to the university there, which is where Albert Einstein lived for many and studied for many years and did a lot of his research. Beautiful view over Zurich. And so by going out to the Lint Museum, we got out by the lake because the city is really more on the river, not on the lake. So we got to see that part of the city and then, you know, came back in and we got to see like the real old town of Zurich. Our guide was just as pleasant as he could be. This guy that I think he was in science before, very personable. And it was great. It was great.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, great way to close out the trip too. It was like the final shebang before we
came
back to
fun.
Reality. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Elizabeth, Anna, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.